You're not going to get rid of your greed. Okay? I've seen that. I've unfortunately observed the egos here, as well as before this ashram existed, long enough to know it has never happened. Try as hard as I will and have to convince and to help people deconstruct these sanskaras. Impossible. So therefore, I'm proposing a new dharma. I call it the dharma of infinite greed. Okay? Your problem isn't that you're greedy. Your problem is that you're not greedy enough. Because all you want is temporary security and maybe an extension of your lifespan with adrenochrome or whatever they're using, you know, for this. But, you know, that doesn't give you immortality, right? You're not greedy enough for ultimate absolute power that will come by being one with the all-powerful Supreme Being. Be totally greedy. And if you really live in infinite greed, you will not settle for a consciousness that is less than always in bliss, you know, because that's a lack. Why would anybody not want to be ecstatically happy all the time and not depend on drugs? In fact, however, an interesting point of how the qualium wave function, when it's decollapsed, affects the quantum wave function is that your calcified pineal gland will get decalcified and it will begin producing dimethyltryptamine when you are in blissful vibrational frequency of consciousness. The chemical objective correlative of it happens in the body, as well as the activation of the endocannabinoid system, et cetera, serotonin, and all of the various chemicals that can produce euphoria are produced, but they're produced as a byproduct of being in that state of consciousness. The mind is primary, and then the body simply reflects the nature of what consciousness is emanating. And so you don't need to, go to these fake shamans for these, brewing up ayahuasca and doing it that way. It's okay, but you can also, if you do it that way, unfortunately, because you haven't gone beyond the ego, you can have some very negative hallucinations, not just positive ones. So very demonic possessions can happen and many other kinds of karmic events that you didn't expect or want. And so there's a large area of indeterminacy when it comes to the use of psychoactive chemicals. But that is overcome through achieving infinite greed. And that's why I propose this. So let me say, first of all, that I am proposing this because I want the best for you, okay? And I think this is the best way for you to achieve what you really want in life and beyond mere life. So let me propose that if you follow this dharma and you take it all the way, these are some of the things that will happen. Now, let me say this, though, before I go further. The reason I want the best for you is not that I'm altruistic and a compassionate bodhisattva. No. I want the best for you because I know that your sense of being, and that of every sentient being that can think or feel a sense of existence as an entity, that I am-ness is the same. There's only one I am-ness, even though many different bodies will experience it and it'll be covered over by the ego apparatus and they won't realize that your sense of I is the same I am that Moses heard on the burning bush, okay? And it was his own voice that he heard, no doubt, projected into the tree. So let's realize that your I am-ness is God consciousness, all right? Now, my knowing that all of you are the same I as I am means I'm only out to help myself. I'm infinitely greedy. And therefore, I want the happiness of every manifestation of my I am-ness. Okay? So, if you follow the path of infinite greed, this is what you'll get. The first thing you will get is self-sovereignty. Because you will, if you are infinitely greedy, what are you going to do? What is it that you're greedy for? Ultimately, it's power. The power of God. Now, the power of God is the I am-ness, but it's the I am-ness in its totally uncovered form. That's where you feel the power. And it's too much for the ego. It'll shatter the ego. So that's a, you know, kind of a spoiler alert here. The result of infinite greed is that your finite greed will disappear. But you won't care, okay? So focus on what you're going to get, not what you're going to lose in the process, because it's an exchange in which you're getting something of infinite value for something of almost no value, in fact, negative value at this point. So when you, now the real, here's the problem, you can't grasp it with your mind. You cannot grasp God. We've established that, I think. God is ungraspable, inconceivable, achintya. There's no way to be able to describe or symbolically delineate the beingness and the effect and the power of God. You can't. You can't imagine God because God has no limits, and you are an artifact within the imagination of God. Therefore, there's no way that you can know your Creator. But what you can do is recognize that that Creator that you cannot know, being what you really are, can be swallowed. You can grasp the ungraspable, if you dare, by opening yourself to such an expansion of consciousness that you become totally empty, and that emptiness will contain the fullness of God and the presence of God. Okay? The only prerequisite is total emptiness. Now, what do I mean by total emptiness? Because this is kind of a term of art in Buddhism. And in the different turnings of the wheel of the Buddha Dharma, it came to mean different things. The first understanding of shunyata, emptiness, was that of Nagarjuna and what became known as the Madhyamaka or the middle way school of Buddhism. And this emptiness was the recognition that the world is empty of essence, because all the world is now, using modern terms, are collapsed quantum wave functions. And you decollapse them and there's no world. There's no such thing as matter. Even energy is simply an artifact of information, and that information is carried by waves that have no actual existence. They are not within space and time. They create the illusion of space and time. The field in which the quantum field effects arise, but that the field itself is created by energy that has no physical correlate. So when you recognize that the world and no one in the world has inherent existence, your existence as a physical body form is temporary, is short-lived. On this plane, it's accidental as far as anybody here was probably concerned. and nobody called for you to come down from heaven, you know, to be the child of your parents, you know. They discovered to their chagrin who you really were, but they didn't actually, you know, invite you because of your qualities. You know, that used to be the case, by the way. I won't go into that story of the birth of Abhinavagupta, but maybe somebody will ask me later. It's interesting. But so the point being that when you entered into this field, you're still in nothingness. It's actually empty of any reality that survives your own mental projection of it. And when the collective projections on the natural world disappear, as they will when the number of observers reaches a certain minimum, which is why the depopulation campaign has to happen now, then that collective imaginary will be weakened, and what will replace it is the awareness of that this is all divine light. It was never anything but light. That's what the quantum waves are. Not even physical light, not photons, but divine light, which is just a name for that energy that's really the light of consciousness. And the qualium waves also have no reality to them other than a temporary congealing of certain capacities to perceive certain qualities in the world. So the first or the second turning of the wheel, which is the first appearance of emptiness, is the emptiness of the objective world. That's what Nagarjuna focused on, and Chandrakirti, and all of those Buddhist sages. The world has no essence, and that means you as a physical being do not exist in any essential way. You're not real, okay? Except as a wave function that is temporarily collapsed into a specific look, but that's all. Now, the third turning of the wheel was what became called Yogacara Buddhism. And there, the emptiness was no longer about the objective, but now about the subjective pole of reality, about the qualium wave function. And what they pointed out was that not only is the world not real, but nothing in the mind is real. Everything is only mind, but the nature of mind itself has no thoughts and has no images or concepts or intentions. And any of that that does exist is a purely temporary collapsed wave function. When you are free of it, you return to that state of natural innocence in which there's no desire and no fear and no lack and et cetera, the divine state of original being. So that was the next turn. And then there was a third turn with the Shentong Buddhists following Dolpopa and Taranatha, in which the emptiness was recognized as not simply the emptiness of the objective and the subjective world, but the fact that your real self, your Buddha nature, is empty of that otherness. It is empty of world and is empty of mind. Your real self is empty of all of those impurities. You are, in your real self, in the state of total innocence, and you never left it. Okay? So that was the logical progression of the first three turnings of the wheel. And this is what really has to be understood and recognized in order to go beyond it. So, emptiness is the key to being able to fulfill your infinite greed. And we could say that you should be aware immediately of three kinds of emptiness. One is, you are empty of any traits, any objective qualities. You are nirgun, to use that terminology. You are indescribable and indeterminate, and what you really are does not appear objectively or subjectively. And secondly, you are empty of any dependence upon the causes and conditions that determine the unfoldment of the phenomenal plane. You do not depend on that. You are unborn, uncreated, and not dependent on any conditions of anything outside yourself, because there isn't anything. And thirdly, you have to be empty of every projection. Okay? Because any projection collapses the quantum wave function of something in the world. So you must be desireless, intentionless. You must be empty of that. That's the innocence. And that's when, ironically or paradoxically, all the beauty that you could have wanted and demanded from the world but never been able to get, and all the joy and all of the miraculous nature of the potency of consciousness, that's when it all manifests. And so your infinite greed is satisfied, and in that moment, greed disappears because there's nothing more to want than what you already are. So the emptiness brings the fullness. They are two sides of the same coin, in fact. So I would say there are seven immediate benefits of attaining infinite greed. First is self-sovereignty.
Thank you for listening to Spiritual Teachings with Shunyamurti, recorded live at the Sat Yoga Ashram in Costa Rica. To join us for a life-changing meditation retreat, or to make a donation to support this transformational work, please visit our website, www.satyoga.org. To access more teachings or guided meditations from Shunyamurti, please visit the members section of our website or our YouTube channel, Sat Yoga Institute. Namaste.